Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I am Mike, the Feverish Fanera, and I have yet another 2022 rookie player profile and special guest. He helped introduce you to tight end goodness and brought the Kyle Pitts 2021 rookie profile. And today he's got another special player to introduce to you. But before he does that, I should probably introduce him. He is the founder of DynastyNerds.com, host of the Dynasty Nerd podcast, Rich Doxson. You can find him on Twitter at Dynasty Rich. And today, right here on Rookie Fever. Rich, how the hell are you?
Oh, doing great. Good to be back. You know, the rookie season's kicking off. I'm diving into this film, finally getting ready for this year to talk rookies. And I'm excited, man. It's a great time to be a dynasty player. You know, like it's, you know, when you play dynasty, and definitely if you're in the business and you're an analyst, like the end season is like, that's the roughest 3 months you do, you know,
because
it flips like redraft a little bit and you're finding the dynasty value, but it flips that redraft. So the best part is now there's so much information out there. And it's like, where do you filter the noise? Like, where do you lie on? You know, is it a Rookie Fever podcast? It's like, you got to find and pick and choose. Cause you're not, it's no longer just getting your information from one person. It's mm-hmm. You're listening to a whole bunch of shows, a whole bunch of sites, which is what I recommend, and gather all the information and see where you are to put yourself in the best position to dominate your rookie draft. Because when you play dynasty, it's the most important thing you're going to do this offseason is get into your rookie draft, besides the trades you make. Because we all know there's only really two ways to build your team, and that's through trades and through the rookie draft. So here we are talking rookies again, and I'm excited.
You got me excited. You ready to get into this player profile?
I sure am.
Nice.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right, Rich, as you know, we let all of our guests pick the rookie that they want to talk about. Please tell our listeners who you picked and why did you choose him?
Yeah, so I picked Kenneth Walker III out of Michigan State. And this was a while ago. I picked him
when you asked me.
And it's kind of funny because like he was, when I picked him, he seemed like he was like the clear cut number three running back in his class, mm-hmm. right? Like it was Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller seemed there for the most part. Again, you know, you'll have the people like, oh no, I had Kenneth Walker the whole time. Like, okay, cool. Good for you. But I had Kenneth Walker from the casual film sense as my number two running back going into this just by watching him. And so I got real excited. It was an easy choice for me to tell you that's who I wanted. I knew I wasn't getting to running backs first. So I wanted to pick a running back because I don't want to jump ahead to the wide receivers. And I'm really glad that I picked him because now here we stand. He's already on the rise, right? He comes into 40. He goes into combine, runs a 4.3. What's his combine number exactly?
4.38.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a 40, a 34-inch vertical, a 10 foot, 2-inch broad jump, comes in at 5'9" and a quarter at 211 pounds. Like really good numbers for him. I would love to see his three cone because I'm a big three cone guy. Like
for running backs. Yeah.
Yeah. It tells me a lot, even for receivers. So I think it's pretty safe now. I bet if you took a consensus poll now, Kenneth Walker is your number two running back going to this rookie class. He's a Doak Award winner, which means he's the best running back in all of college football. 263 carries, 1,636 yards, average 6.2 yards average per carry, 18 touchdowns. Showed us enough in the receiving game, 13 receptions for 89 yards and a touchdown. Showed the combine as well. Hey, I can be involved in the passing game if needed be. Just kind of like all these other running backs we see that come out of Wisconsin that end up being very solid in the passing game. There's not showcased at Wisconsin. He was sixth in Heisman voting, so he was acknowledged there in the Heisman mm-hmm. Candidate there. Pro Football Focus had him obviously first in rushing yards. He was first in yards after the catch and first in missed tackles. So this is a running back that showed us a lot in 2021. And it's a big step forward, which is great because that's what I want to see. I mean, I hate when people are like, well, he just got better, a little bit better every year. Yeah, that's what I want all my players to do. I want to see progress. I want to see get better. And when you look at the tape and you look at Kenneth Walker, I mean, everything I see him do, it tells me that this is going to translate the next level. And it's going to translate well. I mean, he cuts on a dime. His vision, his patience behind that line, his one cut, plant, and go. It's so nice to see. I mean, how his agility there behind the line, and I can just plant his foot and go and hit that hole, to me is something that's like, okay, this is a 4.5 yard per average runner at the NFL level. This is a guy if in a going in the right situation and can be a three down back, which obviously a third down back, he needs to work on his pass protection a little bit more there. But this is a guy that can produce fantasy points. And there's no better position in a rookie draft that's help you win now than a guy like Kenneth Walker. Running backs trump all, right? Like, everybody needs them. Everybody wants them. It's a reason why they go so high still in these rookie drafts. You can plug and play them. And I think Kenneth Walker offers a lot of that upside here in these rookie drafts. He's currently in my 1-2 overall for this year's rookie class.
So I was in the Dynasty Nerds film room this week, Rich, in preparation for tonight's episode. And I got to watch three games Walker played versus Penn State, Miami, and Northwestern. Nice cut-ups, 5 to 6 minutes. I don't know if you want to plug that at all, the film room, but...
I was in there last night refreshing my memory on Kenneth Walker. Yeah, the National Film Room. It's the best place to go to watch film. I mentioned All 22, and it's one place that we have. A lot of people say, hey, where do you get All 22 film at? Well, it's pretty easy. The Dynasty Nerds Film Room. For the price of a cup of coffee, man, you get in there. And we have every single rookie coming out this year. We have 3 to 6 games on them. And it's, like you said, you can watch the entire game in 5 minutes. I think Kenneth Walker's, his longest game was that like Penn State game. It was six minutes. Yeah, so you watch the entire game in 4.5 minutes, All 22, so it gives you the best view. And it's the best way to scout rookies. It really is. It just, if you, we tell everybody, listen to the analysis, but go watch the film too. Like, listen to what we're talking about and go watch the film. And that's what we get to do. This time of year, it's our number one sign up. Like, it's number one reason people join the Nerd Herd is because they got to get in that film room. Probably the largest All 22 film library you can find out there today. And just film room on these rookies. So I'm glad you were in there last night, like I am every day, watching these rookies.
It's so easy to watch. It's so fun, dude. And it's not watching highlights. It's watching every time he touches the ball, which is great. And sometimes when he's blocking. So it's phenomenal. It's great.
How do you know a player? How does he do? Like, how do you know he does in pass protection? Because I'm watching every snap he plays and how he handles pass protection.
So nice.
Kenneth Walker does a little. You know, I mean, I saw him got knocked around a little bit, but he could be better there. But yeah, I mean, that's just we talk about it all the time. Like, it's just as important when a player doesn't have the ball than when he does have the ball. Like, I am not watching highlight film. Right. This is not 2003. No. Like, I need all the tape I can get, because you watch any highlight film, then you're drafting everybody high because they all look good. So it's like, I want to see every snap. I want to get a perfect picture of this player on the field. And that's what the film room does. And that's what you, and honestly, that's what you need. And that's what our analysis comes by. And I think that's why we've had so much success on the Dynasty Nerds podcast over the last 8 years of breaking down these rookies. And our hit rate's been so high is because that's what we rely on. And that's got us where we need to be. It's been able to, you know, when everybody else is going left and we go right, and people want to call us out at the time, it's great that we usually come back with a hit rate. As a group, we do a really good job of checking these rookies out and watching the film and giving you our analysis on them. I can't even wait to dive into a guy like here, again, like Kenneth Walker. Like, it's exciting. And I think what's exciting too, Mike, is like this running back class it's got some potential if these guys end in the right spots. Even guys are like the lower rounds, guys like James Cook, right? Like,
I agree.
There's potential here to go around. A guy like Keatoni Ingram out of USC, like, he has some potential there. There's a lot of guys in here in the right situation.
Yep.
Even just to be a running back too, that's where I'm going, I think, with this class. And the 23 class has been pimped pretty hard as a strong class. And boy, is it ever, too, with that running back class. It's strong, but there's some really good value in this class where everybody's saying it's real deep at receiver. It is, but you know, like a lot of like wide receiver threes, maybe a couple upside there. But I think for running backs, I think there's gonna be some really good value here in the mid second round to high third round with some guys that you could just take flyers on. You know, James Ford out of Cincinnati. There's some fast guys in here with some good chops and that you can get. And we all play PPR these days. So there's some good potential here to get, you know, bring up those old Nyheim Hines, those, you know, but there's always those guys that pop up, Tariq Cohen's. There's guys that pop up that become valuable because of their pass catching skill set. That's what we're looking for. But if you can get a guy that just does that, he holds value because those guys will finish as running back twos because they don't get hurt very often because they're only used limited, but they get enough catches. If you're catching 65 footballs, guess what? You're a running back too, and that holds value because running back twos will win you championships.
I totally agree. I've been saying it on Rookie Fever for the past couple of weeks now that as I've been digging a little deeper, and I start with running backs too, I'm noticing that in your second and your third round, if you look at just last year, there weren't running backs to really pick there. You know, there really wasn't. You know, you had like an early second with a Carter or stuff like that. But now in this, I'm really, really curious to see how many running backs are going to go in, say, the third round in particular in the NFL draft. Because if some of these names go in the third round, I'm going to find them very interesting. You mentioned Cook, right?
Yeah.
That's another one. Robinson. There's some names here that are going to wind up being RB2s on NFL teams, and RB2s on NFL teams are very valuable in fantasy.
Yeah, because they're going to get an opportunity at some point during the season. Exactly. It's like who's the flavor of the week, right? Like who's got the speed, who can do the outside edge. It's kind of like same thing. I saw this with Kenneth Walker. Like people were like real surprised by his speed with the 4.38, but like, I didn't know he was a 4.38 runner, but like I saw the speed there, the way he was able to get the outside edge consistently. Yeah. Like I was like, man,
just about to say that
he gets to the edge so well, so quickly, he plants and goes. And when he turns the corner, I mean, he got caught from behind a couple times, but he was gone. You know what I mean? You're talking about like 30-yard, 40-yard gains consistently. And I love seeing that because can my running back have the vision, have the patience and the know-how to get to the outside? Because if you can, that's where there's some big gains to be involved. Because obviously if you hit the hole in the middle and the hole's there, like, yeah, I mean, shit, like me and you can get a couple of yards at the hole is there. But being able to have the speed to get to the outside edge is such a big gain for a guy like Kenneth Walker. And the fact that he could do it between the tackles as well, that's where that speed comes into effect for me. You know, like,
yep.
This is a guy, you know, because he's a short, compact kind of guy, but like the way he could just cut it on that one cut, get to the outside edge. He's not afraid to like square up his pads too, to break a couple of tackles there. I mean, that's what I want. I don't want a guy that's good. You know, I don't want Ronald Jones who's going down with a blade of grass. You know what I mean? I want somebody who can get his hand on him, but he's compact enough that he can get to the outside still with your hands on him and then get that big game because that's what he does. And he's secure with the football. He only had one fumble lost in all of 2021. And that's out of 276 carries. Just a reliable running back, right? A guy who makes really smart decisions, has the speed, talent, and know-how to produce.
What kind of draft capital do you believe the NFL teams are going to pay for Kenneth Walker?
I'm hoping that him and Bryce Hall can find their way. Like, I think they're second round picks, right? Like teams that need those running backs. Yep. Now, every year there's a running back that sneaks in the first round. Like, oh wow, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire that you didn't see it coming, but like, would it surprise you if the Bills took a running back in the first round with a late pick? They fell in love with Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall? No, not at all. I'm thinking, I think guys like these two guys, maybe even Isaiah Spiller, can be second round picks. If Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker slipped into the late first, like I wouldn't be flabbergasted. And then I think I'm with you. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of third, fourth, and fifth round picks of these running backs. They're going to slide right in there that hold value to NFL teams and give you just enough because these guys can give you enough.
Let's put Kenneth Walker in Miami because you do love that spot. Kenneth Walker in Miami, realistic expectations for year one.
Realistic expectation, year one in Miami. And we're talking possibly, and I know this seems crazy, but you could be talking 1,700 all-purpose yards.
Wow. Yeah,
on the ground and in the air, between him and Jalen Waddle and they bring back Kosicki. I mean, it's possible. You know what I mean? It's there. Michael McDaniel's so innovative in that running game. I mean, look what he's done.
Sure.
Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, guys that you wouldn't have gone in this draft fallen in love with. He made running back once consistently. I think it's very possible 1,700 all-purpose yards because I think he would get him involved in the passing game enough to get him there. So with 17, and I know it sounds like about 17 games this year too, it just makes it a little bit more reasonable. So we're talking potentially anywhere from in Miami running back, say high end, maybe around running back 4 to running back 8.
Wow. Which that's a nice rookie pick right there. Holy mackerel.
It's dynasty gold. And now I'm being very optimistic, right? But like, yeah, I mean, this is time to be optimistic.
All right. Let me take you down negative lane for a second. This is a hypothetical. So hang with me, Rich.
Yep.
Kenneth Walker busts. Why did it happen? What did he fail to do? Did he end up on the wrong team? Did he just get miscast? What happened? If he was to bust, what happened?
I think it would have to be the wrong scheme, wrong system, and just not utilized. Because when I see him run, Mike, like I watch his tape, he just looks so solid. Like he doesn't look like he's an all pro or anything like that. He just looks really like a talented running back to come in here and produce. Like he's a grinder. He does so many things well that's kind of hard for me to like look at him and say, oh, like I don't love this about him. Like, you know, maybe I said his pass protection a little too jukey sometimes, maybe along those lines. But for him to fail, I think it boils down to like wrong place, wrong system.
The converse of what you said, right? Yeah. You're like, Miami is like the perfect place for a back. And you're like, well, there are bad places too.
Yeah. They use a situation like that. They're just going to throw the football a ton. They take him off. They take him out on third down every time. So like he gets no involvement. So he gets no involvement on third downs whatsoever because pass protection is not good enough. So he's limited in the passing game where he's only catching 13 to 14 footballs. He gets about 1,011 hard yards rushing and the touchdowns just aren't a team. So he doesn't go a team that's good enough to get in the end zone. The touchdowns aren't there. And he finishes like running back 23, 24, somewhere right around there. Like that's when you're taking a player 1-2, that's bust. I think that's how it happens. It's just he fails to produce in pass protection. He falls in a doghouse there. He's not utilized there. He's not used in the passing game. The scheme they're running doesn't fit him very well. They don't try to get him to the outside much. They're trying to make him a pure inside runner when he looks really good on the outside. I think that's where he kind of falls flat on his face and it becomes a bust city, and then you're disappointed.
Last question for Kenneth Walker, and then we'll get into the two questions to get you out of here. According to Superflex rookie draft ADP, Walker is coming off the board at 106. Not high enough, too high, right about?
Not high enough for me. He's my 1-2. So it's just, and that's where
in you Superflex.
Oh, in Superflex.
Yeah, Superflex.
That's probably right about right, like 1.5, 1.6. Yeah, because you're in. Yeah. You're, I'm
telling feels you, about right to me.
Yeah, these Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, you know, Matt Corral. These guys are probably going to go pretty high. Then some Breece Hall. So you're talking about like in that range at least. Even if Breece Hall jumps one of those guys, people are still going to be grabbing a quarterback. So 1.4, 1.5. So that seems about right. And I mean, somebody's going to fall in love with the receiver because they're going to get taken top 10. You know, yes. What I mean, in the right situation
that but, will happen too.
Like, how big is the gap between? You know, obviously, the gap between the running backs is pretty big after you get that's out of those huge. Like top three
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. Yep.
But like, how big is the gap between, say, you take Treylon Burks, you take Garrett Wilson, Drake London, obviously a tier by themselves. But then you take the other tier, you take Jahan Dotson, Christian Watson, and George Pickens.
Yep.
They offer just as much upside potentially those guys. Definitely when you start talking George Pickens and Christian Watson, you know what I mean? Like, okay, like I love having 1-2, 1-3 this year because I know I'm probably going to get one of those guys. I'm going to get one of those guys in the second round. And I feel really good about that. And that's the difference between me going at 1-2. If I love Garrett Wilson, it's like, okay, I love Garrett Wilson. I do. I really love him, but man, I could get George Pickens or Christian Watson or John Dotson the second, but I can't get Kenneth Walker.
Nope.
So I'm taking, and that's why when I do my rookie breakdowns, that's how I'm going to justify it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can get absolutely. This. I'm going to take this running back and take the receiver. I'm going to take the receiver later.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, David Bell. I mean, they're all in that tier too. You know,
they're
I mean, depending on landing spots. I mean, they're absolutely right there.
But yeah, there's, like I said, Jameson Williams, he's going to be a bargain wherever he goes. Like I have it right now as 8 players, like in a 1 PPR, 1 QB league. 8 players that I feel
I came up with that same number. Yeah, because nice. I have the 109 in my home league and I was like looking
Christian
at
Watson
it.
And you're like, I think he's gonna go higher than most people think in the draft. And we're gonna see it every year. We're gonna get a couple of people that are gonna be draft risers, right? They're gonna go high in the second round.
Yep.
I mean, who's Green Bay taking? Right. They get Rodgers. Who are they taking in the first round? Like, he's going to rise. So if they take Christian. So say Christian Watson sneaks into the first round and he goes to Green Bay in the first round. Well, guess what? Christian Watson's not getting out of the top 8. Nothing's worse. Like, you go on Twitter right now, like, hey, I have it. Breece Hall 1, Kenneth Walker 2, Garrett Wilson 3, Treylon Burks 4. And people are like, oh, no, you're wrong. Like, what? What do you mean I'm wrong? No, we just have different opinions, buddy. You don't know if I'm wrong yet.
2 questions to get you out of here.
All right.
Who's your guy in this year's draft? Somebody you're hanging your hat on. This guy won't let me down.
Honestly, I think Garrett Wilson's the safest player in this draft. His 40 time came and showed it. A lot of people were like, oh, he's a 4.5 guy. Comes in, runs a 4.38. Yeah. Yep. So he obviously has the speed to do it. He's got really long arms. Big hand, smart, savvy player that's going to go up there, going to get almost every jump ball he goes in. Really good route runner. Number one high school. He's got a pedigree. He was the number one high school receiver coming out of his class at the time. Goes to Ohio State, gets better every single year. Showed as a freshman some flashes there. Just a really safe receiver, right? Like, he's getting those Stephon Diggs comps out there, which is a nice comp. I don't mind those at all.
No.
I think he's somebody, I think the worst case you get from him is like mid-range, low-level wide receiver 2, which is, I think, like pretty much worst case from my eyes that you could have Garrett Wilson because he's so talented. And to me, that's if you get a wide receiver two, even take him 1-3, like I'm happy with that. Like I didn't miss. I think for me, Garrett Wilson's a really safe player, right? Like they might have some guys that offer more upside again, like Drake London, Treylon Burks. I mean, Christian Watson might offer more upside, but again, 5'11", that's, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? His size. So to me, I think the safest player in this draft is Garrett Wilson.
Nice answer. You are also the second or third person to give me Garrett Wilson. So I'm feeling really cozy with Garrett Wilson. One guy you just won't touch and everyone's going to overdraft.
I think I'm going to stay with the same school here. I think I'm going to go Chris Olave.
Yeah.
David Bell.
40 time.
Yeah. The 40 time help. He's got the pedigree and name. Yeah. I think David Bell falls in that category too. Of like somebody just won't draft no matter what. Like I could see myself drafting Chris Olave. I can see David Bell just not being somebody I want to draft. He's a big time name, but like right now, coming off the hype of the combine in his 40, like he's pretty hyped up. He's probably gonna be one of those players that gets drafted in the first round of the NFL draft as well, which gives you a lot of like a big bump. But just for somebody that's I lived at Ohio State for 5 years. Like that's my school. And from watching Olave's entire career, like he's a really nice football player. Like he can stretch the field, get down, stretch the defense, really solid route runner, really decent hands. It's just, but that's it. Like it's just, even Ohio State, you know how many broken tackles he had last year, Mike?
Not many.
Can you count higher than zero?
Wow, really?
He had zero broken tackles last year. Yeah, it's just, that stat actually blew me away. I just found that stat out.
That'll pad your stats right there.
Now, I knew that when he got the ball, he went down pretty quickly. And that was my biggest hang up on watching his film.
Right.
But when I saw the stat that he had zero broken tackles, I was really like aghast. I was like, what? So for me, it's just like, I've seen a good comp for him just recently. Some of the Dysoner staff gave him a Emmanuel Sanders comp. And I like that comp, you know, like a speedy receiver, good hands, but I think Emmanuel Sanders gave us one wide receiver 1 year, like 1 year. That was it. A couple of wide receiver 2 years. It's just, I think Olave falls in a situation like he's a really good football player. And I think he can really help an NFL team. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that really takes my dynasty team to the next level. And I hope he does. And it's hard to say, and I haven't dug in his team deeply, but somebody that's watched a lot of his tape just from naturally watching all Ohio State games. Cause I don't dive. A lot of people think, cause I'm so hardcore in the dynasty, like I'm really into college football, but I'm not. But Ohio State's one game I watch every game of. From watching Olave, like I feel like he's going to get a little overdrafted because of his draft capital in the NFL draft. And I think there'll be guys that offer much more upside behind him. And that first round pedigree will help him out. But like, I've seen too many of those guys come into the league that had those first round grades and I didn't love their tape and they'd never produce anything. And not to say that he's not going to be like, again, I think Emmanuel Sanders would be a fair comparison because a guy who had a really long NFL career was always pretty solid, but you want Emmanuel Sanders to be your wide receiver 3 at best.
Right.
And you always thought he was going to be a little bit better, but he never got there, right? The touchdowns weren't there. The catches were there, but the yards weren't there. It's like, you know, like Mike Williams back-to-back year, you know, 1 year he didn't have the catches, but he had the yards. It's like, I can see Olave, one of those guys that has 80 catches for like 930 yards. You know, you're like, right. Oh, okay. Like that's a solid wide receiver 3 if you have 2 touchdowns. That's, as it stands right now, that's a guy I won't take. Not because I even hate him. It's just because he's going to get overdrafted from where I took him. Those are my two guys. It's funny. They're both Ohio State guys.
And that's funny.
I think I'd draft Olave closer to like that 2-2, like what we were talking about later, but I don't think I'll be there. Where David Bell, I probably wouldn't even take there. Like I'm probably gonna start swinging on like Trey McBride there at tight end, or even some of these running backs that I like that are in a better position that might be offer some potential. And honestly, I'm just trying to trade back at that point, or maybe even get into the 23 class. Hey, you like my 2-2 here with Olave? Hey, you have 2-3. How would you like to have 2-2 and 2-3? Let me get your 23 second.
Right.
Like, let me get that instead. You know what I mean? Can I get your 4-2? Can I get 4-2 in your 23 second? And we all know that's the best time to make those moves in your rookie class because everybody's like real excited about these players. Like everybody thinks they're drafting the next guy. I'm like, oh, this is good value here. Oh, Chris Olave here at 2-2. Give me your 20. I'll give you my 23 first if you give me this and your 23 second. Sold all day. So those are movers that I'm trying to make. So like my process is like inside view of how I do it. I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I like to watch the tape, right? Come up with some analysis of my own, read about 3 scouting reports of guys that I really trust and see what we both agree on and then see what I missed on.
Mm-hmm.
What would they say? And I go back and watch them again. And then either I go, oh, I know I trust that the guy, but I have no idea what he's seen there. I completely disagree. Or like, right. Oh, thank God I went back and watched it with his view on it, 'cause I would have missed that. You know what I mean? Nice. So that's how I do it. So like, say you listen to this podcast or my podcast and you hear me talk about a guy and like, I love Kenneth Walker because the way he plants his foot, his burst is really good and get to the outside, or his vision and patience to follow his blocks and get out there. Oh, okay. Oh, does he really follow his blocks really well? Like I watched, I didn't really pay attention to that. Let me go back and watch again. Oh yeah, he really does. That's another half a point goes toward Kenneth Walker as I accumulate these scores. So that's my favorite thing to do, is like find these analysts. Like again, everybody's a mock draft nowadays. I don't care about any of that. Like I just want, I want scout breakdowns. You know what I mean? That's why I got about three guys that I really trust. I think treated me well over the last 3 years to kind of help me either overcorrect myself or reaffirm what I like to see.
Those three games I watched in the Dynasty Nerds film room, I saw a little bit of everything. He's known for his cuts, and I definitely saw plays where they were kind of deadly cuts. Like they were really shocking on a dime kind of cuts, but it wasn't every game or every other play or anything crazy like that. But the edge, that thing that you brought about him being able to get to the edge and around the edge, I remember thinking, oh yeah, he did run fast in the combine, didn't he? Maybe that's how he's getting there, because he was getting there not because it was speed. He was getting there through speed.
Yep.
So you saw the cuts, you saw the speed. I also saw a couple instances of really decent patience behind the line, really decent, where it worked to his advantage. And then you saw plays where he got caught in the backfield, but that happens to every single running back. But for the most part, I've seen, and then power. I saw power going into, for a touchdown that he just like bowled over two guys. So I saw a little bit of power for somebody who's like, I think Combine said he was 5'9", but everything I see is 5'10". It was nice to see that at 210, 5'10".
He measured the Combine 5'9¼".
Okay. So, a little smaller than you'd like, but I saw the power. I saw him, like you said, go to the edge. I knew about the cuts and I saw the cuts. And again, I didn't see just one or two plays like that. He seems to really be gifted in that way. He really uses it. And I could see what you're saying, maybe where in the NFL, if he does a little bit too much of that, these faster linemen are just going to catch up to him. He's got to like just get up the field and go. But there was kind of a little specialness to it when I saw it. So I see what you're saying. Like when you maybe follow what a scout said and go back and look, because like if a scout has said, maybe he does that too much at times, maybe I'll look at those cuts again instead of all positive and go, he did kind of use too many steps on that one.
And look, he could have got three more yards.
Right. Exactly. What you mean.
Because again, we're not professional scouts, so it's easy for us to miss little subtle things like that. Or like or you don't follow the entire play throughout the process of how he followed his fullback, all the way to the line or the pulling guard all the way there. He had just enough patience. I mean, one of my favorite plays that he played in, it might have been in that Penn State game for Kenneth Walker, was that exact play where he went to get to the outside, he followed his pulling guard, and he followed him perfectly. And as soon as the right opening happened, he planted his foot and went right around that guard and scooted up the field for like a 25-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, that was my favorite play that I saw. I remember the play you talked about, like he bowled over a couple guys. Mm-hmm. But my favorite play that I saw him, I think it was a Penn State game. It's probably like, and I think it was like in the third quarter or so, he follows the pulling guard all the way to the right side of the field and then hits it right at the right time. But he showed the perfect amount of patience and he shows, he did that a lot, like behind the line, like he showed just the right amount of patience and then just the right amount of burst. Like, you know what I mean? Like he didn't lack anywhere. So that's why I think he's such a great prospect. And I'm really excited about him. Like, I think he's a really good prospect. Like for a class that people talk about, like, man, this 22 class isn't that great. Like, yeah, you're right. Like it doesn't offer the highest ceiling that we've seen, but some of these guys can get there. And definitely Breece Hall, definitely Kenneth Walker, definitely Garrett Wilson. And obviously, I mean, Treylon Burks to me, just, I haven't dove in deep, but from following him throughout the year, like how do you not? And then Drake London did so much for the ankle, the ankle break. It's like, there's potential here if you have a top five pick to get a stud.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
That's what we're looking at here, man. That's why we got this rookie fever.
Rich, thank you so very much. It was truly a pleasure getting to do one of these again with you. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, anything else you want to get out there.
We always recommend joining the Nerd Herd. It's literally the price of a cup of coffee. And for that price of a cup of coffee, not to get all our podcasts where we break down the rookies. And this isn't me to sound overconfident myself, but I've been doing this for 8 years and now it's all documented. Our rookie takes are all documented on podcasts for 8 years. I would put our rookie evaluation against anybody in the business, for our rookie breakdowns. We give you a very in-depth look at these players. We break down their strengths, their weaknesses. Do we like them from a dynasty potential? Do we not? A Dynasty Nerds podcast. We have the Dynasty Nerds nerd scores, where a strict tape analyst, some of our guys that do that really well, former college players, break down the players from that aspect. And then, of course, we have the Dynasty Nerds film room we've been talking about, which is, I tell everybody, even if you don't want to care about our podcast, our rankings, anything along those lines, it's worth the price of admission just for the film room for the next 2 months. And if you don't like it, you can leave after that. But once you get in there and you get in the Dynasty GM, we built a tool that I had this idea for a long time ago. The Dynasty GM is, when you play Dynasty, nobody's just in one Dynasty league. They're in multiple Dynasty leagues. And nowadays you have Sleeper, MFL, Fantrax, Flea Flicker, all these different leagues, FFPC. Well, the Dynasty GM helps you streamline all of that. We give you a trade calculator. We give you a league analyzer. And my favorite thing about the GM is the league analyzer, because it brings up your entire league and it shows you the strengths and weakness of every single team. So, like, you know, nothing worse, you're like, hey, I need to trade for a running back. Who needs a running back? Or who has a lot of running backs and weak at receiver because I'm strong at receiver? Then you go through every team in your league. Like, okay, let me look at this team. And then by the time you get to the 10th team, you're like, wait, what team had a good running back? We show that to you visually in the Dynasty GM with the league analyzer. Once you get into that league analyzer, the Dynasty GM, you have a couple hours right from the get-go of uploading your teams and just having fun of that. And we give you so much information that we have the Dynasty GM 2.0 launching here in the next couple months to give you even more information, but we streamline all your leagues. So if you have leagues on Sleeper, FFPC, NFL, we put them all in one place for you to see. We give you the trade calculators. We give you the league analyzers. We give you your player shirt. We give you everything we need here at DynastyNerds.com to help put you in the best position to not only dominate your Dynasty League, just to become a better overall Dynasty player. It's all found at DynastyNerds.com. Check it out. I ask everybody just to give it a try. But I tell you one thing, if you play Dynasty and you're passionate about it, it's a 100% for you. And you're going to come out of your rookie draft every year, at the end of every year, as a better Dynasty team. And that's the most important thing possible, is to get your Dynasty team better every move you make and every decision you make, because we're only here to do one thing and one thing only. I mentioned to begin the show, not that the best team on paper, not that the best analytic team, it's for one thing, and that's to win championships. And that's all we're here to do. And that's what we focus on, is win these Dynasty championships. And we're going to help you along the way.
Thanks, Rich. That was definitely good advice. Check out DynastyNerds.com. There is an insane amount of stuff going on there. And just to make it a little sweeter, because of our affiliation, you can save 15% off any of the plans they offer. They offer various plans. The way you save the 15%, we kept it simple. You don't even need to type in Rookie Fever. There's too many letters. Just Fever. That's all you need to type in. Just Fever, and you get 15% off any of the plans that are there. Thank you, Rich, and thank you, our listeners, for allowing us to hit your ears. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate, review, and do not forget to be awesome. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speech just unreal landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Fever, what a lovely way to burn. Now you
got the fever now. You got the fever now. You got the fever now. You got the fever now. You got the fever now.